This is a career channel program from UC San Diego Extension. Visit us at uctv.tv/careers for videos, employment news, and trend articles to help recent college graduates and those in career transition bridge to better employment.
In today's world, professional success is no longer solely limited to the traditional path of a four-year degree. In San Diego, thriving industries like technology, healthcare, and advanced manufacturing are creating exciting career opportunities, many of which require specialized skills, but not always in the way one might expect. Career technical education is transforming how students prepare for the future, offering unique hands-on experience in high-demand fields while still in school. These programs allow students to explore career pathways early on, cultivate valuable skills, and gain a competitive edge in the workforce. Joining us today to explore the connection between careers and K-12 education are Andrea Lopez Villafana and Jacob McWinney from The Voice of San Diego, and Taylor Dunn from the San Diego Regional Economic Development Corporation. Their latest collaboration, A Parent's Guide to San Diego Schools, provides families with essential data and insights to help students navigate their educational and career options. Welcome, Andrea, Jacob, and Taylor. Tell us a little bit about the guide. What was the impetus for it, and how does it serve the community?
So this is our seventh edition of A Parent's Guide to San Diego Schools. Voice of San Diego is a nonprofit investigative news outlet here in San Diego. Our mission is investigative journalism for a better San Diego, and that tends to be what we focus on. But part of investigative journalism is also helping people understand their community, understand the systems that we are watching, and part of that is education. So about 7 years ago, we decided to start this guide in collaboration with UCSD to take a look at all the statewide data that we have on San Diego schools and put it in one place where parents can look at it and decide, hey, these are the schools that I'm considering for my child. What are things that I like? What are things that I don't like? And throughout the years, it's evolved and improved, and every year we keep adding new metrics. But we wanted to provide parents a resource.
You mentioned adding metrics. What sort of metrics have you added for this edition?
Well, as Andrea mentioned, every year is kind of an evolution on the last, right? We solicit a lot of feedback from parents about what has been useful, what they could do without. And so with that, we try to kind of scale out or scale down depending on what people want and need. In the past, we have created metrics in partnership with UCSD. One was the income versus test score metric. One thing you learn very early on when you start to look into education is just how dependent on the socioeconomic factors outside of the classroom education is, right? I always talk about to parents that if you show me a test score, I can with a high degree of certainty tell you pretty much what the socioeconomic picture of the community that school serves looks like, right? Because it is a truism that in education, as test scores increase, the community that school serves tends to be wealthier. As test scores decrease at a school, the community that school serves tends to be more lower income. And so we were pretty unsatisfied presenting a guide that just had these metrics that we kind of know at times are a glorified Zillow score. And so we wanted to create something that would allow for kind of a deeper understanding of these test scores. And with UCSD, again, we created this income versus test score metric that seeks to control socioeconomic factors like poverty to present essentially how schools are doing without being tied to that all-important factor. And this gives people an understanding of, you know, how a school is doing despite the fact that they may have really high levels of poverty or really low levels of poverty. So that was an original metric that we created with UCSD. This year we have two new ones. As Andrea mentioned, we've been doing this for 7 years, and so we have had a good amount of data just kind of sitting around. And we figured that, you know, the biggest story in education now and probably for years to come is going to be COVID. And so we created a COVID impact metric, right? And this metric allows us to see over a period of years, A, whether a school's test scores were impacted by the pandemic, and after that, if a school is on the road to recovery, or if it's not on the road to recovery, right? And so we found that about 80% of schools countywide, their test scores were impacted by COVID. And of the schools that were impacted, less than half are on the road to recovery. And it's important to note that the road to recovery doesn't mean that they've improved to where they were before the pandemic. It means that they have some encouraging signs over the past couple of years. And with the Economic Development Corporation, we added another new metric this year, which is labor market score. And this kind of is our hope. Our hope is that it gives parents a better understanding of kind of what the CTE offerings are at different schools, particularly high schools. And so again, with UCSD, who are kind of our data gurus and wizards there, we threw a bunch of factors into a blender and tried to come out with something that showed, you know, how promising, how many options these schools have, whether they offer programs in areas where jobs are growing, whether they offer programs in areas where there are high-paying jobs. And so, you know, with this new guide, we're still going to be probably tweaking it in future years as we do with everything, but this is kind of our first step into CTE.
Yeah, they really challenged us. This was, you know, they asked us, you know, what can we do? What we'd like to offer this information to parents, how can we present it? And again, like Jacob said, this is the first time we've ever done it. The guide itself includes all this information about any school in San Diego County Public School. And you can go from, you know, looking at the school that your child would attend, finding out whether it's a charter school, what their enrollment numbers are, test scores, how often kids are chronically absent at that school. So there's many metrics, but among those is the new CTE data that's fascinating to partner on.
And it's been an interesting kind of evolution because for many years, the guide has sort of been geared towards parents of younger children who may be first entering the public school system and being confronted with, you know, the giant wall of jargon that we've created for parents, right? Whether that's local control plan or school site councils or project-based learning or, you know, all of these different things that really don't make a whole lot of sense. So that's part of what the guide is there to do, create a shared vocabulary and allow parents to kind of have a step up and understand exactly what they're getting into because it's not all that clear at times.
Well, I remember a time when parents used to rush to the newspapers to find out where their schools were ranked, but it seems to me that this guide offers much deeper, more complex contextual information so parents can make better decisions. And CTE, Career Tech Education, is something that's new to the guide this year. And so we talk about looking at labor market factors. We talk about what schools are doing. And for career technical education, how's that preparing students for the jobs of tomorrow?
I can speak to that a little bit. I think that career technical education from the very start just creates exposure for students to careers and industries that maybe they don't even realize exist in our region or across the country. It also enables students to start to explore those careers or those industries to understand what they like, what they dislike, you know, where their skills and passions might be a good fit for the long-term career before they have to really start making hard decisions about where they're going to invest in an education, what sort of education is going to be required to place them in those types of roles. I think there's another opportunity that comes along with career technical education, and this speaks a little bit to what you were saying earlier about especially math and reading scores and their correlation to income. I think career technical education provides some sort of real-world application to some of these math and science courses that students have to take that keeps them engaged. I think there's a potential for us to lean into that more, but it's really an opportunity for students to understand, you know, why am I learning about calculus? Why, I'm never going to do the Pythagorean theorem. Actually, you are going to do the Pythagorean theorem. It's very likely, and here's where it might be useful. And so I think that there's a big opportunity for students to understand more about their careers and then to incite conversation about what that might look like for their future.
So it's more of a practice-based understanding, yes?
Yes. I think there is some real potential to it. I know there are some high schools that are offering, for example, in the medical field, courses that sort of build up medical education certificates so that are required in order to enroll into maybe a registered nursing program or something like that. So career technical education can create can end in a certificate. It can end in some real world usable, you know, credentialing that industry recognizes, but it doesn't have to be that. It can be very exploratory. Mm-hmm.
So it can be exploratory and immersive. And we've talked a lot here about reading. We've talked about math, but how is the workforce changing? So we talk about vital metacognitive skills. We talk about the 21st century essential skills, or whatever the name it they're giving it. We used to call them soft skills and know that they're anything, the durable skills.
Yes.
Is that something that is also incorporated, integrated into this work?
I think it can be. Career technical education courses vary from school to school, and I think the guide speaks a lot to that variance. But there certainly is an opportunity for real-world application of, you know, math, science, reading, whatever it might be, to create problem-solving, to create team collaboration, to create some other of those, you know, durable skills that industry just keeps emphasizing is so important and continues to be important as technology evolves.
And perhaps forging an emotional connection to education, an emotional connection to learning, would that be an accurate assessment?
Yeah, it's seeing the value in what some of the things they're learning in the classroom, certainly.
So when we look at CTE, there may be some misconceptions about it. And I remember CTE long, long, long ago, you know, in the days of hallowed antiquity, when it was ROP, and it was very much a matter of tracking, you know, from high school to career versus high school to college. Today is working within career and technical education, career tech ed, is it a zero-sum game?
I think that career, as you mentioned, you know, the kind of antiquated view of career and technical education is it's where kids go to, you know, do metalwork or auto body shop. And it was very much viewed as sort of a replacement for higher education, where now I think often it's a supplement for higher mm-hmm. education, right? Mm-hmm. It may be an opportunity for kids to kind of gain additional skills and kind of figure out, as Taylor said, exactly where they want to go. I think that the exploratory options related to it are some of the best aspects. But I also think that, you know, and this may be a little blasphemous to say at a university here, but you know, for many years the pendulum of education is always swinging, and for many, many years that pendulum essentially dictated that high schools were going to be college preparatory factories, right? Mm-hmm. Every single student, you know, the ideal goal was that they would end up at a four-year college. And I don't think that was really the best place for high school education to be in, right? There were many kids who may have preferred to go on into a more career-oriented field, whether that be, you know, plumbing or doing electrical work. All of these things that provide really worthy jobs that allow them to build careers and build lives and build families without necessarily requiring them to strap a big, you know, college debt onto their back. And so I think that while career and technical education is often a supplement nowadays, there are still opportunities to provide these careers that have for too long been stigmatized, right? There has often been this stigma of kids going into things like plumbing and electrical work. And now that we're living in a world where kind of trust in higher education has started to decline, and some young people's understanding that higher education is the only way to go has started to, you know, chip away, it's really, really useful and very, very important that these places, that these opportunities for kids to explore careers that they may not have considered for themselves, that may, again, have been stigmatized in years prior, that those are opening up in high schools.
I would add to that, I think not only were the traditional kind of career technical education courses, auto and wood shop and things like that, stigmatized, that created a challenge for our society in that we're lacking in those skilled trades people. Mm-hmm. And there are industries like the defense industry that are really feeling that right now. And so I do think the traditional concept of career technical education remains important. But I will say here in San Diego, the County Office of Education's department that focuses on CTE is actually focused on career and college readiness. So
Yes. Even
the system has aligned. Mm-hmm.
So really, it's a matter of volition. It's the idea of providing choice, whether it is to enter the workforce immediately, whether it is to use this perhaps as a step up into tertiary education, or to do both at some point.
I mean, there are so many options. I mean, just for us, right, that's not something that we normally write about or focus on. And just in exploring this data and talking about how we were going to present it, Jacob and I were fascinated by all types of programs that different schools offers and in one industry, right? Because traditionally we've thought of woodworking or, you know, those types of programs. And what were we finding? All sorts of things like graphic design.
All sorts of things, graphic design, like biomanufacturing, yeah. Healthcare, hospitality, visual and performing arts. I mean, you know, and for many of these things, as we've been, you know, talking about ad nauseum here, the exploration, the education doesn't end when you, you know, walk across that stage and you graduate high school. It continues further on. And so, you know, those evolutions have, again, as Taylor said, kind of allowed these things to align in a greater capacity, where there may be options for you to, you know, step out of that, off of that graduation stage and go find a career, or maybe you end up here at UCSD.
So it seems to me that there is sort of a popular mythology that surrounds career tech education, especially for people my age, people who are parents. What would you say some of the most prominent misconceptions about this are?
You want to start, Taylor?
Well, I was going to ask if you guys, I know you do a lot of feedback gathering from the parents. Have you begun that process yet, or have you started to hear back from parents on their thoughts on this?
We haven't started to hear back from parents yet, but having done, you know, a fair number of workshops now, I mean, the misconceptions are exactly what we've been talking about, right? Like, the metal shop is where the kids who, you know, aren't destined for college, and that's said in a derogatory way, mm-hmm. Go to play with blowtorches or whatever it is, right? And again, I mean, you know, I do think, as Taylor said, that we've done ourselves a really real disservice, not only to young people, but to our society, by stigmatizing these things and by you know, casting aspersions on people who maybe building a life that just may not, you know, fit the platonic ideal of someone who, of, you know, the classic coastal elite, whatever you want to look at. So I think that the misconceptions are exactly what we've been talking about, largely.
So I would also imagine that schools also face a number of challenges as they try to sort of inextricably intertwine this work with more traditional, let's say, academic focus, more traditional A through G requirements. How is that coming to pass?
So I'm not an expert on the curriculum development or the K-12 system, but as my organization looks at the future of the talent that'll be available in the region to work at companies that are increasingly high-tech, life sciences, what we call innovation economy, or even within industries that you might not consider technical industries, but that are increasingly reliant on technology, we start to dig into this data to see, you know, where does it start and where are our challenges really rooted? And what we're finding when you look all the way back to the data on career technical education engagement and enrollment, that's where some of these trends around gender disparity and racial disparity in certain industries start. And so I think that the potential for career technical education to enable the workforce that we need is really high, and it brings us back to looking at these areas where a lot of these challenges might start. Now, when you start thinking about A through G requirements, which one do mm-hmm. you choose? Do you have to make a choice when you're, gosh, 16 years old, mm-hmm. right? What's the rest of your life going to look like? That does, what we've seen from the data and in our conversations with County Office of Ed, start to become a challenge because you want to weave, like you said, the career technical education with traditional education opportunities. But there are funding mechanisms, and there are, you know, acceptance of curriculum that has to happen throughout the state. And so it's a big network, and it's very nuanced. And I know that the County Office of Ed and the schools themselves are doing a lot of work to ensure that as many courses as possible can count for both, so that you mm-hmm. don't have to make those decisions at 16 years old or 17. You know, you can really explore and not be set on a path. But I think there's always room for growth in those areas as well.
Well, I'm curious, Taylor, when you do your research, I mean, what are the industries where workers are badly needed, not only in San Diego's present, but San Diego's future?
Yeah. So, of course, we have highly technical workforce here in San Diego, and that's becoming more and more true. And it will, you know, in the numbers that we look at, having a highly technical workforce will serve us well as the population declines and jobs continue to grow. Technology will start to fill in those roles. But as I mentioned before, it'll mean that all jobs are in some way technical jobs. Mm-hmm. When we're really drilling down to some specific occupations, we see a high need for engineers. And that could be a breadth of occupations. When you actually look at the labor market, it could be advanced manufacturing roles, like engineering technician type roles, but it's of course also those, you know, sometimes 6 years of education post high school are required in order to fill some of these engineering roles. We're always seeing challenges in the healthcare sector, though I will say there's a lot of interest in healthcare as a job path from students. There's many programs that are at capacity and have to turn students away. So potentially some opportunity for career technical education to fill some of that gap. And then I think the other one that we're starting to see more of is around the life sciences and biotech roles. And I mentioned before, the skilled trades continue to be increasingly difficult to find good quality talent, and something that's threatening our society as we continue to need that talent for, you know, city development and defense development and things like that.
And from your findings, do schools and the county office coordinate with one another? Do they work together regionally, or are they fairly independent?
I think there's a high degree of independence. I think that the county office is starting to kind of understand the need to build this system out in a more kind of planned way. But the county office can only do so much, right? Districts are very, very free to create programs that respond to the desires, the needs of their individual student base. And so while, you know, the county office may be able to kind of push them or ask them to do certain things, that does not at all mean that they have, you know, a stick as well as a carrot.
I think that might be a good thing. The independence within the districts might be a good thing. Where I think there's a lot of potential for more coordination is within the next steps of education. So how does that career technical education offering at that district relate to what the community colleges can offer in that same district, or what our four-year universities in the region can offer, and how those credits are accepted or recognized as a student moves along that pipeline.
Mm-hmm. So for schools who are working with this, how do they forge connections? So when they are creating these unique curricula, do they connect with industry? Are they reading studies? How do they establish their programs?
You know, that's not something that I know a whole lot about. My understanding is that a lot of it is related to student desires. A lot of it is related to the expertise of their teachers, and you know, some of it does come from those industry connections. I know that at schools like Logan Memorial Educational Campus, the new campus down in Logan Heights at San Diego Unified, they have leaned on educational or industry partners. Same with Lincoln High over in Lincoln Heights. I mean, these are kind of fluid situations, right? And they are very much in development and evolving right now. So I don't know that there is kind of a one-size-fits-all way to how they develop these things. Yeah,
I think that piece about having to rely on the educators and what they're able to teach is a huge reason for maybe some of the gaps that we're seeing in career technical education opportunities aligned with highly technical occupation paths, so engineering and life sciences and things like that, because a teacher doesn't necessarily have the tools that they need in order to conduct those courses, and partnership with industry could really enable that. I think there's a real opportunity there.
And it seems to me that industry would also offer a rich pool of potential educators, people who are maybe making career transitions or really want to cultivate the next generations.
Well, they have to be willing to take a pay cut.
Yeah, exactly.
I would imagine so. I don't think anybody gets into this for the wait.
Or some sort of partnership between the employer and that school, right? Because ultimately, the employer needs that talent. They need that career technical education course to be taught so that in 2 years or 4 years or 6 years, or if it's a PhD program, maybe it's 8 or 10 years, that talent is ready to work at their company. So I think there's an ROI there for companies, and I'd be very interested to start to measure that and see what it could come out to.
Yeah, it would be fascinating to see moving forward how often they partner, right? Like, what better workforce to have than people who are here from San Diego? Yeah.
Maybe we'll see, you know, an 11th grade engineering class presented by Qualcomm. That would be quite a strange synergy, but who knows?
Well, Qualcomm has like Thinkabit Lab and things like that, where they try to invest in a way that gives access to all San Diego students that want to access it. And there are many that do. And I think more programming like that is something that could be a real game changer for the region.
So when we look at all this, it's almost a mosaic. Maybe it's better stated as a tapestry with a number of threads woven through that is evolving. What do you think some practical steps are to make these kinds of connections? What is the role of industry? What is the role of post-secondary education, whether it's a community college or four-year institutions, and the role of K-12, the role of communities, the role of parents? How do we all sort of come together in more of an organic way?
Well, I think greater collaboration on all levels is very much needed. Whether that, you know, means that all of these organizations start to collaborate on pathways that articulate in a more meaningful way than they do now. I know that some of that is happening. San Diego Unified, for example, has set a lofty goal to make sure that all of their high school kids graduate with college credits via the San Diego Community College District. The number of credits taken by San Diego Unified high schoolers at San Diego Community College District is the highest it's ever been. And I think that, you know, while many of these kids end up, you know, moving to four-year universities, the role of community colleges is really, 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 really vital. You know, what four-year universities offer now is very different than what they used to offer, right? And I'm talking both in a practical sense, but also kind of in a larger theoretical sense, right? Back in the day when colleges weren't so expensive, kids could go there without a plan and explore and figure out what they wanted to do with their life. Now they can't, right? They're on a clock. They have to get through these classes as quickly as possible. And so community colleges offer, in my view, some of that space to explore and figure things out. So bringing these classes in earlier, allowing for career and technical education opportunities that allow for that exploration that we were talking about earlier, the exposure to new things that maybe they didn't realize that they would love before, all of that stuff is super vital, but it doesn't really happen in an organized way until people get organized.
And I think on top of collaboration, also education, educating mm-hmm. parents, helping them understand how these programs work, why they benefit their child or how they can benefit their child, right? We constantly are hearing from parents and other people about how expensive it is to live in the city of San Diego. Can my child afford to live here? Will they ever afford a home here in San Diego? Maybe, you know, this is a conversation to start having. What career should they pursue to be able to do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think increased alignment between A through G and career technical education, so that the limited resources that schools do have can be deployed in a way that serves students no matter what their pathway is.
There's a great through line that you talk about in terms of K-12 and post-secondary education. But when we talk about field work as it pertains to career technical education, is industry ready for the kids we're sending them?
I think that's a good question that not really anybody can have too great of an answer to. What do you think, Taylor?
Industries are certainly apprehensive, when you say field work, apprehensive to bring students onto their property and mm-hmm. you know, give them that on-the-job experience, especially for students that are under 18 years old. So, and some can't. Like, sometimes there's just a, you know, certain restrictions on it because of an industry or because of a business that they can't do that. So I think those that can, that don't have those hard restrictions, should explore it, because I think there's a lot of potential. Those who are running into some of these barriers and are not, you know, are experiencing a lot of that apprehension, I think can leverage some community partners mm-hmm. that create a safety net for the company that allows them to have students on their premise, or to send their own employees to the campus safely to teach the courses, explore the careers on their own campus.
It strikes me that online would also offer some modicum of security. The reason I ask is because I remember internships when I was in high school, and what internships were comprised of is staple this, file that, bring coffee for the group, that sort of thing. And these CTE programs are sending to industry dynamic, diverse, and very sharp kids.
I mean, I think that when we're talking about internships, not all internships are created equally. There are still plenty of the internships that consist of basically, you know, servant work, like you just described. Mm-hmm. But figuring out the right community partners for a school to bring in to offer internships, that's a key to ensuring that these kids actually get a meaningful work experience and not just one, you know, where they are doing servant work.
I would argue that that work is beneficial to many students as well. There's certainly a continuum of work-based learning, as we call it, and you know, an internship where a student gets to practice coding is a great internship. But you have to keep in mind that there are a lot of students that have never stepped into an office building before. They've never been around adults that are dressing in professional attire to go to work. They've never been in an environment where there are adults talking about, you know, economic development or biotech development or whatever it is. And if they're just in that room, that exposure begins. And so I would always encourage companies that are hosting interns to make that as relevant to their learning experience as possible. But if you're a company doing really highly technical work that, you know, you need PhDs on campus, we don't want to write off those opportunities for students because they're not quite, you know, at a PhD level yet. Being in that room with those individuals can be game-changing. It can start to build their networks. It can start to build mentor relationships, even if they're not coding.
So really, you're not speaking solely of content, but also the world of work.
Exactly.
What it means to be immersed in the workplace. I'll ask you this, then: would our career technical education students have an advantage over those who follow a more traditional pathway because they've been immersed in that world?
I would argue yes, certainly. Number one, just knowing how to present yourself in a workplace is a hard barrier to overcome sometimes. But also, when we talk to employers about what they're looking for in their talent, and we're typically talking to people who are looking for, you know, sometimes associate's degrees, bachelor degrees, but even master's and PhD, you know, entry-level talent, what they emphasize more than anything is a passion for the work and some semblance of like caring about what the work they're doing is. This is especially true in some of the technological or highly technical roles that we are looking at. You know, some of these employers say the stuff they're going to work on here is intellectual property. It's highly secretive. They're not teaching it in any classroom because we would never give them that intellectual property. We just need them to be really passionate about this work, really ready to learn, and care about engineering or IT or healthcare, whatever it might be, so that when they come in the room, they're ready to learn and they're engaged in the content. And that, I think, can be very well displayed by the participation in a career technical education training program, among many other opportunities that exist around the county.
And the emotional connection, as you mentioned, the sort of sound habits of mind that we talked about earlier, an exposure to content seems like it is an ideal combination to really help our kids as they move forward. Now, I'm a parent, let's say, and I want to find out more information about things like training programs or internships. Where's a good place for me to look?
You know, I think one place to start is your kid's school, particularly if they go to a high school. The San Diego County Office of Education also offers a whole lot of information about what career technical educational offerings different high schools have. They also generally have a whole bunch of internship opportunities that they can provide to you. But I think that the first place to start is the place where your kids are getting educated.
And the Voice of San Diego Parents Guide to San Diego Schools.
I was waiting for that one. And how can we access that easily?
Yes, it's online, so voiceofsandiego.org/schoolsguide. All of the data in the guide is there, as well as the articles that help explain to parents how to navigate the system. We also have copies in all public libraries in San Diego County of the printed guide.
And from the EDC perspective?
So from the EDC perspective, we have what is called a network of verified programs that we work with that have been vetted by industry for two things. Number one is that they're teaching the curriculum that's needed in order to prepare students for the workplace. And number two is that they're reaching and serving a population of students that reflects San Diego. So we have that, but that's all post-secondary education programs. Mm-hmm. As was mentioned, I think the County Office of Ed is a great place to go, and the Voice of San Diego's Parents Guide to understand the high school and earlier levels. And then we just try to help with that connection to industry and with this network of verified programs that you can be sure your student is going to learn the skills they need for a job and from a program that's well connected to industry. And so that's available at advancingsd.org.
Fantastic. And if there was one thing that you would want our audience to know, whether it's about the guide or whether it's about career technical education, what would it be? Why don't we start with you, Jake?
So as an education reporter, I mostly cover K through 12 education. You know, I went on about our income versus test score metric. One of the things that I really caution everybody when we do workshops about the guide is that this guide is simply a collection of data, right? It does not reflect the humans who work at these schools. It does not reflect the culture of these schools, the tradition of these schools, the curriculum of these schools. When parents in particular are thinking about education, they must understand that education is a holistic experience, right? It's all of these things coming together to teach your kid, you know, what they need to know to move forward. And so I would caution them to never make a decision about their child's education based on one data point, right? No matter what your neighborhood school looks like, pretty much no matter what your neighborhood school looks like, a kid can succeed there. What they really need, the real kind of secret weapon is you as a parent, you being involved, you being supportive, you being invested. And the fact that you are simply kind of looking through these data points and trying to make an educated decision kind of indicates that you are all those things. And so I would very much encourage parents to, again, understand that that education is not any one thing. It's a whole collection of things that are coming together.
So a holistic approach.
A holistic approach.
Fantastic. Andrea?
Yeah, he stole my answer. That's what we say.
You can just say ditto.
Ditto, man. No, that's what I say to parents when we host these Parents Guide workshops. We host meetings with parents and we explain what the data is on all the articles. But at the end of the day, or at the end of the Parents Guide, there's a page that says questions to take with you when you go on school tours. And it can be really difficult for parents, especially if they're working, to go and actually visit schools that they're considering for their child. But that's so important because the guide is just a tool. We have all this data, you know, just a basic dictionary of all the jargon you're going to hear when you're navigating through the education system. But you need to go check out the school. I had this moment, I spoke to this woman who was looking through our guide and she told me, she said, you know, that it shows that the school's doing okay if we're looking at like test scores. There's a lot of poverty in this neighborhood and it's not the best, but you know what? When I walk into that school, I feel welcomed. I feel that my child is cared for and I know if I'm just engaged, they can succeed. Mm-hmm. I said, you're
a star. So ultimately it's really about goodness of fit.
Yes.
I love the point about not making a decision based on one data point. I think that's so important. From an economic development standpoint, from you know the perspective of understanding what our future workforce needs to look like, I think that I would hope that parents see career technical education as just an exploration opportunity for their student, for their child, to see what they like and see what they don't like so that maybe they spend a few years in high school exploring a career and then figure out they don't like it before they go and invest all this, you know, time and treasure into preparing themselves for that career. Of course, the preferred alternative is they find out that they love it and that's what they want to do. And, you know, you've got this passionate person who's going to pursue a career. But both sides of that are so important. And knowing that there is potential for your student to pursue a career in San Diego County, if that's what they want and if that's what you want for them, is going to be really a really important piece of that, knowing the alignment between the career technical education offerings and what jobs really are available here.
Excellent. Sound advice for a very complex world of work. Now remind us once again, where can we get the guide?
You can access the guide at voiceofsandiego.org/schoolsguide. You can download a copy for free or pick up an actual printed guide at any San Diego County Public Library.
And for everything you need to know about career technical education, Taylor?
I would say certainly visit the San Diego County Office of Education's website. And if you're interested in information about San Diego's labor market and jobs that are available, you can visit sandiegobusiness.org.
Well, it seems that there's nothing left to do than to thank our guests, Jacob, Andrea, and Taylor. Thank you very much for joining us and for your incredible work on this subject.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Morgan.